Hello, world. This is the Know Your Place podcast, and we are on episode 52. On this week's episode, I'm going to talk about sort of a subject I don't really want to talk about, but I feel like I have to talk about. No, that sounds bad. On this week's episode, I'm going to talk about American interventionism. And I don't intend to make anyone angry with this episode, but if you do get angry, I don't know what to say. This is just how I feel, and this is sort of just who I am. So, yeah, we'll dig into it here. I just want to start by saying my grandfather fought in the American military in World War II, and I have a general respect for all of our armed service people. And all the stuff I'm going to say throughout the rest of the podcast has nothing to do with any sort of disrespect to the regular soldier, okay? And I think that's pretty clear, but I just want to make that clear before I say anything else. So anyway, on this week's episode, I've been seeing lots of stuff about Venezuela, you know, and I could come in here and give a huge breakdown about Venezuela, but I feel like everybody else should just read up on it. I don't feel like I can really contribute anything new to the conversation about Venezuela. So instead, I wanted to take a different angle. No, it really got me thinking, though, about sort of American foreign policy and American interventionism, especially throughout my lifetime. And for those of you who don't know, I will be 30 in April, so we're talking 1989 to present. And the reason why I want to talk about this is because there's a lot of people trying to make a push for us to intervene in Venezuela, and there was also a vote in the Senate to block our president's troop withdrawals from Syria. So I find both things, I don't know how else to put it. I find them kind of disturbing. And I'll come in here and tell you why here in a bit. So if we're talking about my lifetime, and this is what's crazy, there used to be some meme that was going around, and basically it showed how much of your lifetime, what percentage in like a pie chart of your lifetime that America had been at war. And it would go progressively up with the younger the person, mind you. To the point that I think Gen Z people, there hasn't been any time that we haven't been in some unofficial or quasi-official capacity at war with somebody. And for my lifetime, it's over half now, you know. So, so when I was really, obviously when I was a baby, the Persian Gulf War happened. I don't have any memories of that time period. It would be silly for me to come in here and pretend I do. I will say, though, I did read some interesting articles that pointed to the New York Times coming out shortly after the war and pointing out that the Kuwaitis who testified before the UN claiming that Saddam Hussein's soldiers were killing babies in the incubators and hospitals were proven to be totally false. Kind of interesting little side note there. I don't want to come in here, and this is not a defense of Saddam Hussein. I'm just saying, again, if we're trying to form a sort of narrative, and I'll kind of take a step backwards after making that statement. If we're trying to sort of form a narrative about American foreign policy, and I'm sure my listeners will have recalled on certain episodes, I've discussed it briefly with some of my other guests. I've not really delved too far into it because I don't really try to make my podcast overly political or not even, you can't remove somebody's politics from who they are, in my opinion, but I haven't tried to make it sound like I'm staunchly anything. But there is something I am staunchly. I am pretty staunchly anti-interventionism. I don't, and I'll go into this a little farther. But anyway, so the reason why I point this out is because, you know, when we've gotten involved in any one of these things that I'm going to rattle off here afterward, to get the public to want to get behind it, at least enough that people, you know, I don't know, that there's not protests in the streets like there were with Vietnam. Generally speaking, the media, the mainstream media, the government, I'm hesitant to even really use the word government, but sort of the mainstream media has had to have like something that the public saw as, you know, something that was really awful, that therefore that justified this intervention, you know. And I think that that was in a way a result of Vietnam, because with Vietnam, well, you know, it always happens that we demonize the enemies in the press. I mean, if you read George Orwell's 1984, you know, he makes that point very clear, and you can see so many examples of that all throughout history with every country. The reason I think after Vietnam, you know, the excuse that, oh, they may be affiliated with the Russians and want to be communists became weaker. It's still there, and evidently it seems like it's coming back a bit these days, but it became a weaker excuse. You had to have a stronger excuse than just that. Like, you know, with the Persian Gulf War, it was not only was it that Saddam's just a bad guy, but oh my gosh, look, Saddam is, or that he's invading a sovereign nation in Kuwait, was oh my gosh, look, there's babies being killed in incubators in hospitals, you know, like it had to be something really radically justified. Or, you know, when we went into the Balkan Wars, you know, it was, oh, look at those evil Serbs. They're just, you know, they're being so evil. They're trying to injure people, and they're doing this ethnic cleansing, and they started it. It's all their fault. When, you know, I think history is slowly starting to show us that, well, I'm not trying to defend Milosevic. It's becoming clear that, you know, the ethnic tensions were there long, long before the Balkan Wars broke out. And there were several other Balkan Wars. And it's becoming kind of clear that our involvement, especially in Kosovo, hasn't really changed the calculus much. You know, it's anyway. But that's another aside. So why do I say all this? Well, prior to World War II and prior to Vietnam, of course, prior to World War II, though, we didn't even attack other countries first. It used to have to be that there had to be some kind of justifiable attack on Americans to make us want to get involved in a war, you know. Now, some people argue with Iraq and Afghanistan, they tried to do that, which, yeah, I guess so. But I'm talking about a more direct thing, okay? So, like, World War One, and actually, I'm going to have to say World War One was was what I would call touching on interventionism on our part, too. Because while Germany did bomb, its U-boats did shoot down the Lusitania and another Italian ship with our passengers on it, Germany did not directly attack America in World War One until we entered the war. You know, they were not trying to attack America. They just simply were enforcing a very strict naval zones, which I, you know, you could argue that was going to lead to a direct confrontation. Anyway, it's true. You know, it's true, but it's not the same as World War Two, where Japan bombed our base on our territory. That's a reason to go, if you will. And, you know, or it's not the same as the Spanish-American War, where though we put our ship, our military vessel kind of in their harbor, they did bomb it, right? You know, they directly attacked us. It was an American sea craft, and it was directly attacked, right? So that's no longer necessary, though, right? That's no longer seen, as I'm going to talk about here with these examples of all the different ones that have happened in my lifetime. We've had none of this practically. We've had absolutely none of this practically. The bar is much, much lower than it used to be. And I find that very scary as we encroach on talking about the Venezuelan question, if you will. So, yeah. So anyway, the first one that happened was the Persian Gulf War from 90 to 91. I was not alive for that. Well, I was alive for that, but I don't remember it. And the Panama thing happened again. I don't remember that. I was not around for that. I do have vague memories of the Balkan Wars, you know, and the thing I find troubling about that is, yes, we did help Bosnia, and maybe and Bosnia probably deserves to be a sovereign nation, but us being there hasn't changed the calculus. Us being involved, Kosovo, while it's quasi-considered a country, I mean, it's not really a country. It's not being recognized by Serbia, right? So it's just a, it's in parts of Bosnia, you know, there's all these different demarcated zones and there's still walls there. You know, it's really weird. Although I have to say there is the occasional dust up still in the Balkans, but it could be worse. Okay. It could be much worse. You know, it's just, I don't really see what we gain by getting involved there. You know, it's not like, well, Croatia and, what's that other country there? Slovenia, you know, have probably what we would call more fair and free elections than Bosnia and Serbia. It's not like these countries have totally shed their communist backgrounds. And it's also not like, it's not like the America has gained from it. It's not like they're giant trading partners with us now. We have some kind of resource from, which shouldn't be, again, that doesn't necessarily mean that needs to be a reason for us to, we don't need to intervene. Like it doesn't serve any purpose. You know, Croatia and Slovenia were probably going to be their own countries anyway. Bosnia is just, it's like a battleground still between, you know, sort of the Serbs and the Croats and the Bosnians. You know, it's very strange. And I don't see what our involvement does for anybody, really, except just make us hated by certain parts of the world. And so the Balkan Wars, while I personally find the fact that we got involved distasteful, there's enough of the public that still kind of thinks it was somewhat okay we got involved. But the next ones I'm going to read off, they are just looking worse and worse in hindsight. I mean, there's just no real reason that we should have gotten involved in these. And I make this point now because, like I said, people are talking about getting involved in Venezuela. And I think that's a really huge mistake. So, Afghanistan. We were told, the American public, that we need to get involved in Afghanistan because they were sheltering Osama bin Laden. In that he was the one that orchestrated the September 11th attacks. It was all his plot, and therefore he had to be brought to justice. Now, I will say, I think Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda were involved in the September 11th attacks, but there's a very interesting caveat here. Well, there's several very interesting caveats here. One of them being, technically speaking, there's a page from the September 11th report that was forced to be redacted by the Saudi government. So we don't, and this is why I want to bring this up with all of these ones I'm going to talk about. The other weird thing about this is it seems like countries that are supposed to be our allies in quotation marks are actually the bad guys. So it just makes us all look like a cluster. Okay. But yeah, so I remember as a kid all over TV, you know, we got to invade Afghanistan because that's where Osama's hiding. He's being hid by the government there. We got to go get him. He was the one that did this. He was the one that bombed these places. He was going to take down America. This and that, moi, moi, moi. And it comes out now years later, 17 years later, I guess, that there's a connection to the Saudi government, and it's redacted, and supposedly Saudi, and we're deep in bed with Saudi Arabia, so we're probably never going to know, you know, maybe they were more involved than just the fact that Osama happened to be one of their princes from the bloodline. Just saying. So, yeah, and then the crazy thing about this is we went there in 2001, and we're still there. We are still there. We haven't left. The government is in constant chaos there. The country is not improving at all. There's no they claim there's democracy. There's no democracy. Why are we still there? It's insane. We should just pack our bags and go home. Okay? We should just do it now. We've lost thousands of soldiers there. It's such a blight on our society. You know, and they always have an excuse for not leaving. Oh, we got to protect the oil fields. Oh, we got to protect get them off the opium fields. Oh, we got to do this. We got to do that. No. It's clear that nothing we do changes the calculus there. And I also want to bring this up. So, you know, we're supposed to invade there because that's where Bin Laden was hiding. It turns out, you know, if we're supposed to believe that they killed Bin Laden, again, we've never seen any photographic evidence that they killed Bin Laden under the Obama administration because we never actually got, because they didn't release the pictures because they claimed that that was going to cause more insurrection. Again, for all we know, he could still be alive. For all we know, he could be a figment of our imagination pushed to us. I don't claim to know any of this stuff for sure, so don't act like I've claimed to know it, but I'm just pointing this all out here. And if we believe the narrative about him, he was hiding in our ally of Pakistan. He was hiding there the whole time, and they're supposed to be our allies. So, you know, it's really weird. It's almost like, anyway. So next one we're going to go on to was in 2003, we decided to invade Iraq because the main reason they pushed onto us was he was supposedly Hussein was giving money to Al-Qaeda and they had weapons of mass destruction. Both things have turned out to be false over the years. And we stayed there until 2011 in the Obama administration. And I think there's a push to put some of our forces back there. I'm not sure if we're considered there or we're not considered there. I don't really know. You know, I don't know what I guess we're considered back there again. I mean, it's so hard to tell. It's like, are we there? Are we not there? Who knows? But I do know this. We, again, lost thousands of troops there. And the situation in Iraq has not improved. And now there's even talk that, you know, the Kurdistan tried to declare independence, and that was blocked by the UN because, you know, everyone's really soft on Turkey. So, you know, we're screwed. We've lost all these lives there, and we haven't changed the calculus at all. And the reasons we went in there were, again, false. You know, they were false. They weren't true. And, you know, it just seems kind of ridiculous. You know, and I feel bad because, like I said, I have a lot of respect for our soldiers. I have many friends who are veterans. My grandfathers were both veterans. But it's almost like it's besmirching their honor that we are involved in these things. And they don't need to die for a pointless reason. Soldiers need to defend your country for real reasons. Anyway, so next on the list is Somalia and Kenya. Yeah, we've been involved in Somalia and Kenya since 2007. We've had troops there. Yeah, look at how well that's turned out. Is Somalia a stable country? No. Is Kenya a stable country? Not really. I mean, Kenya, they keep having these mall attacks where people just come in and mow down a bunch of people in malls, you know, but somehow we got to be there. We got to be there. We're going to take care of those pirates. Dang it. It's such a pariah on society. Yeah, I don't think it's working. You know, the pirates are still there. The countries are not stable. You know, it's really a travesty. It's really ridiculous. It's very silly. And again, this is all these troops being sent out there. Think about the amount of money we're spending on this. And our country's in massive amounts of debt. Just want to point this all out. And then, of course, there was the lovely thing we did in 2011 in Libya. And we're still, we still kind of have troops there as well. And that country went from being one of the most advanced and prosperous countries in Africa to a completely civil war dragged out country. We had that awful attack on one of our embassies that led to a whole scandal in Benghazi. And again, we still have troops there. They're still there. Nobody comes home. And all these people, you know, all this craziness happens. So, you know, I just want people to consider all these things. Okay. The next one I want to talk about is apparently for some reason we invaded in Uganda and just to fight against supposedly the Islamic State in Uganda, or not Islamic State, the people, the Lord's Resistance Army. And I want to point out, I don't really know much about that because it starts getting hard to follow because we have troops in so many places. You know, it's just kind of nuts. It's kind of nuts. And what are we doing? You know, I think we've actually left Uganda, you know, by some miracle. But again, does stability and peace come to mind when you think of Uganda these days? I don't think so. And what was the point? You know, what's the point of trying to get these factions to... You're not going to get them to heal with guns. The only way you get stuff to heal is with trade over time. It's a slow process. You know, the sort of freedoms we enjoy in the West, in my opinion, the sort of way we govern, it didn't form over a couple years. It took hundreds of years. It took two world wars. You know, it's not something that happens easily. You know, a lot of people have to slowly lose their will to kill people, basically. You know, and that... So, anyway. And then, of course, we're still involved in the civil war in Yemen, and we have been since 2015. And that country has become literally the worst country in the world, I think, by most metrics. You know, it's just everybody is dying. There's not a lot of opportunity or anything or stability, no food on the shelves, nothing. And for what? For what? What has it helped us except make headlines when we kill innocent people? That's all it's done. We, you know, we are not endearing ourselves to the world. So anyway, why I bring all these interventions up is because I'm going to talk about the Venezuelan situation now. So it's my understanding that our government is officially recognizing the opposition leader. Now, this on face value, I don't necessarily have a problem with. Personally, I would want to probably stay out of it a little bit more than that even. But fine. I don't really have a problem with us recognizing somebody. I tell you what, though. There's rumors that Bolton, in Trump's administration, has been thinking about putting boots on the ground in Venezuela. No. No. That will not work. I guarantee you, the only thing that will happen is we'll get a bunch of troops stuck there that won't leave, and the government will just be perpetually more unstable. Okay. Just because Maduro is an oppressive dictator does not mean it's our responsibility to take him out. I'm sorry. I'm sorry for all of you moralists out there. I don't know what to tell you. You know, there are things that I think any government does that can be considered dictatorish, you know, and just because we're outraged at certain things doesn't mean that, you know, if we prop up one person over another, that the country's going to get behind it. People are free-thinking people. And this is what I think the interventionists really don't understand. You know, our way of life wins people over freely. You know, you make more friends with honey rather than poison, okay? You coming in there, which... guns just makes you look like the bad guys or the police force, okay? And it's not our, you know, I mean, fine, send money to people, give out food to people, anything, but do not, under any circumstances, come in there with the intention of deposing Maduro with force. It's not even necessary. In my opinion, Maduro is just going to collapse anyway under the pressure. Why do we want to get involved in a perpetual cycle of putting our troops in harm's way? You know, and I find all this really disturbing because we're the United States of America, and we are pretty much founded on the premise that we don't want some government 3,000 miles away telling us what to do. So why on earth do we think it's a good idea to go somewhere else and tell somebody else what to do? Very strange. It's all very strange stuff. I don't like most of it. So anyway, let me know what you think in the comments section. Let me know how you feel about interventionism. Do you think it's justified? Is there a level that would be justified to you? There's certainly no level justified to me. And let me know what you think about the Venezuelan situation. Thanks for listening to the podcast. Peace.